If you will find the verse in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, let me read that to you. It says, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. And this is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Let's pray together. And while we're praying, Z, can you see me? Huh? Z's here in the altar. I'm just praying for some of the energy that Z has. How about you all? Huh? So in the freedom to worship, I'm sitting there, Lord, I need some of that right there. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you help me to be a preacher that just preached so simple that a child would understand me. Lord, help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, thanks for reminding me today that of everybody in this audience, on this campus today, I'm the one that's under a strict judgment because I'm a teacher of your word. You single me out today, Lord, in judgment. Thank you for the opportunity. And I want to be held accountable to rightly divide your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all today. After an extra hour of sleep, or did you use it unwisely and stay up late thinking you were being rebellious, right? I'm glad you're here. In Exodus 3:14 today, Moses and God are having a conversation. You ever had a conversation with God like Moses is? And Moses is going, who do I tell him you are? And God says, you tell them, I am who I am. This is what you say to them. I am has sent me to you. To understand I am, it means I was, is, and always will be. An old country preacher said that only God can define himself. And you and I, we try. It's a feeble attempt. We try to define God. We try to put him in perspective. Do you even think about him deeply enough? Like, where'd you start, God? Where do you end, God? How did you come about being God? Why'd you make the giraffe? I wonder why he made a possum. I've not figured that one out yet, but somebody asked me if I was happy. I said, I'm as happy as a possum in a carcass. You have to be country to figure that one out. Some of you still aren't even near there, are you? How do you explain who the Lord is? I love in Deuteronomy, the word eternal talks about the eternal God, means the one who is always before. You're going, well, where is his beginning? He's eternal. It's just a complete, he's infinite. It just goes on and on. The psalmist argues, man, I can't understand you. You're right. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Yeah, aren't you glad? I'm glad God doesn't think like you. I'm glad God doesn't think like me. Right? I'm just glad. Hallelujah. It is he is the only one who can define himself, and he does it right here. Who are you? Who do I say sends me? He said to Moses, tell him I am sent you. I am the one who was, is, and always will be. We're going to handle a little bit of the mystery called the Trinity for a moment. We're going to be there, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're going to be there for a moment, and then we're going to tag it to help you understand it even a little better. But God reveals himself in three ways. He reveals himself to us as Father, as Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't go looking for the word Trinity in Scripture. You'll never find it. An early church father gave us that word Trinity. His name was Tertullian. So you can look for it in Scripture all you want to. You're never going to find the word Trinity. He just used it as an example to be able to describe how God reveals himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When he reveals himself to us as Father, God is using the Father to do the sending and the sourcing of his mission. Send and source are very important that you remember here. The Father does the sending and the sourcing of his mission. He's always blessing the Son. He's always going, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He's letting them know, if you want to get to me, you got to go through my son. Like my son Andrew, if you give me a message, this just general message, I'll listen to it. But if you go, Andrew told me to tell you this, you think I'm going to listen to it a little keener? Yeah. So when we approach the Father, how do we connect with the Father? We connect with the Father through Jesus. Jesus is that. He's always blessing his son, always giving him the seal of approval for who he is and what he does. And then God reveals himself to us as son, which we know to be Jesus. He embodies, literally, take the word body. He embodies who God is in mission. Jesus is salvation. He connects us to the Father. We're going to handle that in a moment. He's always connecting us to the Father. He's always trying to get us to do what the Father is doing. That's what Jesus always did. Well, what are your words? Well, I only say what I hear the Father say. Well, what are you doing? Well, I only do what I see the Father doing. So our connecting piece to the Father is not around Jesus, it's through Jesus. And remember, the Father does the sending and the sourcing. And then we've got him revealing himself to us as Spirit. And the Spirit gives us the power, gives us the juice that we need to get through life, to get through difficulty. We prayed for Miss Darlene in the early service. We prayed the Holy Spirit would empower her. Where do I get my power? I don't get my power to live this Christian life from anyone else or anything else other than the Holy Spirit. That's how I get through it. It's how we all get through it. He is the one who is empowering our life and our mission, and he's always pointing to Jesus. If you tell me that you're dealing with the Spirit and you say the Spirit is pointing you somewhere else than Jesus, I will tell you in a counseling session, it's not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is always pointing you to Christ. Always. He is a witness as to who the Son is and what he's doing. So here, if you need a little logistical picture here, the Holy Spirit right now deals with us, but when he deals with us, where does he send us? He sends us to the Son. As we handle the Son, we get salvation there. We call it the mission of Jesus. We join the mission of Jesus there. But then when we connect with Jesus, we got one more step of connection, and that's with the Father. What's the Father do? The Father does the sending and the sourcing. Let me say this. I'm going to say this. You're going to say this is arrogance or pride. It really isn't. But I talk to people about this $1 billion jackpot. People going crazy, standing in line. I'll call it for $1 billion. I've never bought a lottery ticket. I will never buy a lottery ticket. Do you know why? Because, you don't need to. You're the preacher. That's not why I'm doing it. I just want you to know my source of life comes from the Father. Okay? It comes from the Father. So I'm at a place in my life when I surrender my life to Jesus, the source of my life, when this iPhone needs recharging, I'm plugging into the Father. How do I get there? Through his son, Jesus. Jesus says when you pray, and a lot of us, we may pray directly to Jesus, I'm just glad you pray. But if you want to get technical, where does Jesus tell us to throw our prayers? Come on, help me out. Father. Where do I go? I go to the Father. Why? He's source and sends. He's the source of my life. So the lottery can get $2 billion. I'll never buy a lottery ticket. You're going, preacher, you're self-righteous. Call me whatever you want. The source of my life. My life will not end until he says it's time for it to end. Do you understand? You all with me? Y'all looking at me. Did y'all really get that extra hour of sleep or night? Or because if y'all don't get it, I'm just going to start over. It's like 10 free throws, and you miss the ninth when we go back to the first one, right? We're going to get 10 in a row before we go home. You with me? Yes. Just tell me you are, even if you don't halfway mean it, all right? Just tell me you mean it. So you get it? He's the source. The Father is the source, and he does the sending. The Son is the embodiment, literally. He is salvation. He connects us to the Father. The Spirit is the one who gives us power. People throughout life, ages, centuries, have tried to get us to understand God in words. And they have come up with creeds. Now, I'm not talking about the band back in a few years ago. All right. I am talking about creeds that, like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. We're going to look at just two of those creeds for a moment. They do their best ability to tell us about who God is, of defining God. And I'm with the old country preacher. God can only define himself. But we take the Apostles' Creed. We sing this. Hillsongs has made this popular again. Has taken the Apostles' Creed, put it in song. But for me, Rich Mullins did this back in the 70s, if you all remember Rich Mullins. In fact, when I ever read the Apostles' Creed, I've got that different guitar that he plays in the background, and I hear him singing it when I go through. Let me read it quickly. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, he sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he came to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. That creed is a mix of what the apostles believed. Thus, it's called the Apostles' Creed, and it's doing its best to define for us. And it is packed full of truth. Then you have the Nicene Creed. It's the Council of Nicaea. Long, long time ago, I'm going to be Professor Jeff. There are four ecumenical councils. One of them is the Nicene Council, and they're arguing that this council is Jesus and God together. Are they together? Are they one together? If you really want the word, it's called homoousios, means one substance. And is Jesus really God? Is really what they're, and so they come out of this council going, he is. And so they write this creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible, invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. Here's their whole argument, being of one substance with the Father. That one line was their argument. Is he really God in the flesh, through whom all things were made? This creed's a little longer. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, was made man, who for us too was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures, ascended into heaven. He is seated on the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom shall have no end. And in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and the Son is worshiped, glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the age to come. Amen. Aren't you glad you weren't a member of the church in Nicaea? Whew. Man, I can't even get some of you to remember to put your clock back an hour, and let alone quote this when we come by, you know? So what do these creeds do? These creeds attempt to bring definition of who God is. They do, is packed with truth, there's no doubt, but it still leaves us wondering to the image of God. There was a little girl who was drawing at school during the art session of school that day. She's drawing away with all of her crayons. The teacher's walking by inspecting everybody, all of her students, as they draw. This little girl's going at it, tongue out, you know, it's going busy at it, real focused. So the teacher asked the little girl, "What are you drawing?" And the little girl never quits, tongue out, still she goes, "I'm drawing a picture of God." And so the teacher said, "Well, I need to let you know something. Nobody knows what God looks like." And the little girl says, "They will when I get finished." They will when I get finished. Because they're trying to bring a picture of God. I want you to look at John 14:6-9. John 14:6-9, we're going to handle it one verse at a time. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What is Jesus? He brings salvation to us. There's freedom in Christ. All that. But one of his other tasks is to connect me and you to the Father. Spirit draws us to Jesus. Jesus saves us, forgives us, grace, mercy, forgiveness, new life, all that. Gives us a sense of purpose and mission. Then he connects us to the Father, who not only sends us on mission, but sources the mission. He's the source of that mission. Then he said, no one goes. Look at verse 7. If you know me, he's talking to the disciples, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Verse 8. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Verse 9, Jesus said, have I been among you all this time without you knowing me, Philip? Says, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Here's what you and I need to see, and that is, if you want to understand the Trinity, which is a Tertullian word, not a scripture word, but if you want to understand how God reveals himself as Father, God reveals himself as Son, God reveals himself as the Holy Spirit, where do you start in that journey? Let me help you out. The key is to start with Jesus. Jesus is where we begin to understand some of these mysteries of God. And some of them, Paul says, you will never know, but you can know. There can be others that are mysterious to us, but not to him or others who even wrote in Scripture. So the key to being able to learn this is that. Here's what Robert Coleman said. Robert Coleman said, Jesus is the photograph of God. If you need a picture of God, where am I going to look? I'm going to look at the person of Jesus. Look at Hebrews 1:3. Look at this. See, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact impression of his nature. Look at that exact expression of his nature. Sustaining all things by his powerful word and making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is absolutely the exact imprint of God himself. Look at Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. John 1:14. He's talking about that the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observe Jesus' glory, his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and mercy. And leave that there, Tammy, if you will, for just a moment. I have people come to me all the time. They'll go, hey, preacher, we won't talk about other belief systems in the world. Okay, let's talk about them. Well, you know that other belief systems mention Jesus' name. Don't be taken back by that. Don't be, when you see other belief systems, don't go crazy going, well, they believe in Jesus too. Just because they use Jesus' name as a teacher or a prophet or a rabbi does not mean that Jesus is a central part of their belief system. Any belief system that does not have Jesus as the Son of the living God is insufficient. It doesn't match. So you'll go, just because, I mean, I'm around people and they say the word Jesus, but they don't mean it the way you and I do. So just don't realize because there is this form of belief in other parts of the world, well, they mention Jesus too, and they do. But he's a prophet, or he's a rabbi, he's a teacher. That's all he is. Here's what's got to happen. You and I have to properly place Jesus, and Jesus is the living Son of God. He's the one and only Son of God. With Simon Peter in the Gospels, who do you say that I am? They're going, well, some of you think you're an Elijah, you're a prophet, but who do you say that I am? And Peter made this declaration, you are the Son of the living God. So you and I have got to properly place him. It can't just be rabbi or prophet or teacher, which is what rabbi means. It's just not that. Some of them in his day saw him as a rabbi or a teacher, and that's the way they addressed him. They refused to see him as the Son of the living God. So don't go taking, oh man, that religion over there, that's okay. They got Jesus listed. It's not about being listed. It's about being properly placed. And where is he placed? He is placed as the Son, the one and only Son of God. So you've got to get that and understand that. Coleman is right. If you need a photograph of God, a picture of God, then where do you begin? You begin with Jesus. Jesus is the exact imprint of God in his nature. So why is this important to know? Why is this important to know? Because you and I have got to be like him. That's the challenge today. Today, I'm talking about this hour today. We've got to be like Jesus. Look at Philippians 2, 5, and 11. We're going to walk through this. Some of you may have learned verse 5 as you need to have the mind of Christ. Make your own attitude or the mind that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of man. And when he had come as a man in external form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even to the death on the cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and understand the earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hang on a moment. Just because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess doesn't mean that everybody's going to be saved. Case in point. When Adolf Hitler died, guess who he had to bow to? Does Adolf Hitler know that Jesus is Lord? Yes. Now, does it mean he was converted? No. But every one of us will know the Lordship of Christ one way or another. This is just where I'm a country guy. I'm a country boy. Why do you want to deny something that's eventually going to happen? Why don't you go ahead and take care of it the right way now? Here's my point. Why are you putting off what eventually will be necessary? I hear people talk today, and since Tom's death, Julie and I had this conversation last night, there are a lot of people that you have your life planned out, and I look at you and go, I hope so. I hope so. We had it too. We had it planned out too. Not going according to plan. So here's my point. Life's way too short for you to put off what is necessary. I would rather be declaring his lordship now in surrender than declaring his lordship when it's too late. I'd rather do that now. Don't put it off. Some of you got your life all mapped out. I wish you the best. I really do. But I don't see life that way anymore. And if I'm going to get into Scripture, James says, don't plan for even, he doesn't even use next week, I do. He goes, don't plan off and tell me what you're going to do tomorrow and what you're going to, he said, if the Lord wills it. Don't the Lord will it, people drive you crazy sometimes. Do you know what I'm saying? I appreciate the laugh, Vanessa. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. You know, they're just always, if Lord Terry's is coming, well, I mean, that's a given for me now. You don't have to say it, but sometimes I'm around the Lord willing. I'm going to order that hamburger. Well, Lord willing, you know, everything's Lord willing. You might just want to I understand that, put it off, but listen, I hope you have plans. I'm not saying plans are wrong. I just hope they work out for you. But my point is, don't put off. Life's too short for you to put off what's necessary. And what's necessary is for you to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This verse tells us in Philippians that everyone eventually will know that he is Lord. So you're properly putting him where it's placed. Why is this important? We've got to be like Jesus. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers, here's how you live. By the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm living, but yet I have died. I've died to what I wanted to be, who I wanted to be, how I wanted to be. What happened? Well, Paul says that I'm crucified with Christ. Whatever I really wanted to be in my own life, I sacrificed it. I literally took care of it. But now, what am I? I'm a living what? I'm living, but I'm also a sacrifice, even though that I'm living, because I've sacrificed anything that I wanted to do and be. Why? For him. He's the source of the mission. He sends us on mission. We do that. And then it says, I want to be holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world or this age. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I just read Philippians. What's our mind going to be like now? Have the mind of Christ so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Here it is. Tammy, put up the hope arrow, if you will, for just a moment. I want you to see that identifying Jesus, he becomes the photograph of who God is. In our discipleship is, we want you to be like Jesus. Let's get down to earth here, okay? You're going, hey, preacher, I want to be a part of your church. Great. I want you to be a part of it. But you need to understand something. We're not your father's Oldsmobile, okay? We're a little weird. How are we weird? You're going, hey, preacher, plug me into classes and all these things. Can I really be honest with you? For 58 years, I've seen people plugged into classes and never get to the mission of Jesus. Are you all listening to me? And then I'll plug you into a class and you're faithful to it for 3 weeks and then you never come back. Hello. But you want me to offer it whether you come to it or not. Right? Preacher, offer all these small groups, offer all these Bible studies. I can, and you don't pay any attention to it. I quit staff meetings a long time ago, back in 2006. I think I quit staff meetings. You know why? Everybody hates them. Is anybody in here like meetings? If you do, don't raise your hand. I really don't want to know. But I mean, we need a counselor. Do you really like me? We say here the lack of meetings is a compliment. All right, let's go to committees. All right, how many of you work in state government? A bunch of you. How many of y'all know the state government process with a bill? A bill comes up, they look at it, and if they throw it back to committee, what happens to it? It dies. If it's sent to committee, it's a death. It will never come out. So if you ever chase a bill that you're interested in and they fool with it and send it to committee, quit chasing it because it's not coming out. Why do I want to make committees so that we take things to die? Help me out here. You understand what I'm saying? So you're going, hey, preacher, I want to join your church. What do you want me to do? Man, I want you to come here. We've got 5 international places for you to go on mission trips. You can go in East Kentucky. We got stuff around here you can be plugged into. I've mentioned 3 of them today. We got stuff in the United States you can be plugged into. We can send you on that. We can get you on mission. And then I just want you to do that hope arrow right there. Now, some of you are here and you're new today. You have no idea what the hope arrow is. It's our whole picture of looking like Jesus. The H stands for have spiritual conversations with people. And don't just talk about, man, those Wildcats, they were flat last night. You know, that's not what spiritual conversations are. And our conversation is going to be wrapped around who? Jesus. Why? Because he's the picture of God. So just have conversations with people, spiritual conversations with them. The O, open up the scriptures, especially the gospels. When you finish the gospels, don't take a break, read them again. When you finish that, don't take a break. Read them again. Do all your other Bible studies, Old and New Testament, but stay continually in the Gospels. Why? Because you will see the picture of God. How? Through the person of Jesus. The P, pray and listen. Listen for the Holy Spirit's direction in your life to help, to aid, to go. My brother here today, you all wave your hand. Why are you here today?
The Lord has me on mission and it involves the church.
And he told you to come here, didn't you? And yes, we do know each other, by the way. So it's pray and listen. The E, this is where we are diehard Baptists. Eat. And pray after you eat instead of before. That's what Baptists need to do. But eat with people. Get in, engage in their life. The arrow means you're sent. You're going, Pastor, you just want me to attend this church, faithfully serve this church, be involved in our ministries on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, prayer meetings on Monday night, Stephen's ministry here on Monday and Tuesday maybe. I think the prayer meeting's on Tuesday. It just goes on and on. Yeah, plug in here. Go to our 5 international orphanages. Be on disaster relief. Serve our community. Serve in our state. Serve in our nation. I've got plenty for you to do there. What else, Lord? Won't you get me in a bunch of classes? Can I help you out? I don't want you in a bunch of classes. I want you to do this. If you will do this and show them Christ, they will see the picture of God and not see you. But I want to be like Christ. I can't be Christ, but I want to be like Christ. Paul says, if you imitate me, then I'll lead you to Christ. Paul says, I imitate Christ, but if you imitate me, then I will lead you to Christ. That you're going, that's all membership means here? That's all it means here. We will flip these two counties upside down if I can get you all out of classes and meetings and all that. And Heddle, I want to tell you, I ran a couple off from this church. I didn't mean to. I didn't look at them and go, I'm going to run you off. I didn't do that. They came to me and go, we want to be involved in classes and this, that, and the other. And I said, sir, we just don't do that like we used to. Well, what do you mean? He said, we need fellowship. And I go, you can have fellowship. You just don't know, you just don't need me to design it. Who designs it? That's the P in hope. Pray and listen. You can start 20 Bible studies without my permission if you want to. Okay? You can do it. Go do it. You've got more Bible study at your fingertip than I could ever provide for you. It's right there. Get in, pray and listen, get involved, open the scriptures, get involved in that. So they said, well, we don't you think Christians need fellowship? I said, yeah, but I can't always be the source of that fellowship. I can't do it. And he goes, I just don't understand you. This is the way I think, all right? I used to be a high school football official. And when I watch a football game, I watch it a little differently than you do. I'm trained to watch it differently than you do. And I said to this, I said, do you know much about football? And they said, yes. I said, you're saying we need to huddle up more. Is that what you're saying? Oh, yeah. I said, I've been on earth for 58 years, and that's all I've seen the church do is huddle up. Every now and then, the football team need to go to the line of scrimmage. And this is the line of scrimmage. You can say, well, you can find all the fellowship you want. If you come to me, I can plug you in at the senior citizens building. It'll be fellowship and ministry. I got all kinds of areas for you to be able to serve. I don't even have to create them. I just connect you to them. I'm a networker. All right? So you're going, what does it take to be a part of Hope Church? Come here and be a part of our mission, but just go do that. And when you do that, you're going to see people come to Christ. You're going to see people called into ministry full time. You're going to see missionaries develop. You're going to see churches planted. You're going to see pastors raised up. You're going to see homes come together, all kinds of stuff. I've just learned that getting you in a class or a small group just doesn't always do that. And are you against huddling up? No, not if you go to the scrimmage line. But if you're just huddling up to huddle up, I'm against it. I'm against it. What I want you to do, I want you to do that right there. I'm going to disciple you to do that. Why? Why, Jeff? Because that's designed to look like Jesus and what he did. That hope arrow is designed to mimic and emulate what Jesus did in the Gospels. And if you'll do that right there, we will see things change and flip around. Our discipleship is to be like Christ. And we believe Christ is the picture of God. If you want to understand some things you don't understand right now, where do I start, preacher? You start with Jesus. Why? Because he is the picture of Almighty God. And God said, if you want to get to know me, then you get to know my son. And you will know me. That's what Jesus is trying to tell these people. Let's do the hope arrow. You can do this. Preacher, you need to help me a little more. Well, let me help you in helping you a little more. Trust the Holy Spirit. He's the one who empowers you. I can cheerlead you. I promise you, I don't look good in skirts and bobby socks and saddle Oxfords, but I can be your cheerleader, all right? I know I messed you up there. Sorry about that. I'll be your cheerleader, but the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers you, not me. I don't empower you. I'll clap for you, cheer you on, but I don't empower you. He empowers you. And if you want to learn the key to be like Christ, it's following the Holy Spirit, because he will connect you to Jesus. Salvation, the mission of Jesus, grace, love, mercy, forgiveness is all right there. And then Jesus will connect you to the Father, and the Father will help you out. You won't have to buy lottery tickets. And you're going to go, what'd you learn at church today? The preacher's against lottery tickets. I'm really not against lottery tickets. I'm just for you being sourced by the Father. How about that? Live being sourced by the Father. It's a whole other way of life. And it's absolutely beautiful. That's what we do. And then let's get to this. Let's get to this. Live it out. Watch what God does through you and with you by living out this hope arrow. Here's the words that we understand from Scripture about all of us. He says, go. Go. Quit sitting around wondering how it's all going to come to you. Some people go, when's all? Well, here's the way to battle that. You go to where he sends you. And there are local places here that he wants to send you. Go do them. Quit sitting around waiting for it all to come to you. That's not the way to do this thing. Where does he send you? That song, go where you send me, is that going on in your all's head too? That's going on in my head. Probably is yours now, but it was going on in mine. Ah, where you send me, doom, 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 doom. You know that? Y'all with me on that? All right, what's so funny? What are you laughing at me for, Aaron? So it's just, where does he send us? Go get it. Go do it. You can. He will empower you. And you're going to make a difference in people's lives. Trust him. Watch what he puts together. So go. Let's pray. Father, I pray over our people. We have a lot of questions. Where'd you start? How's this end? Where'd you come from? There are a lot of questions. Deep philosophical questions. Searching questions. Lord, I believe the country preacher when he said that only you can define you. You're the one who was, is, and always will be. But I have learned, Lord, through your word and experience, that if I want to see a picture of you, I look at Jesus, your son. I thank you for Jesus. We know that he is your one and only son. He's the only means of salvation. Through him is grace and love and mercy and forgiveness and eternal life. And we thank you for that. Lord, he connects us to you. We know the Holy Spirit leads us to your son. And the Holy Spirit's always saying, Jesus, you are the one that he has sent. You are true and you are real. Lord, I thank you for the Trinity. I can't say that I completely understand it, but I know that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are always working on our behalf. And we thank you for that. So Lord, teach us to trust you, to go when you say go. Teach us to do that today. May today be a point of surrender. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray over our people. Amen. The invitation is this. Come and surrender your life. There'll be counselors in the altar here. You can talk to. They'll pray with you, minister to you. You need to pray with somebody. They're here. You can bypass them. Pray on your own. The altar's open for you to do that. We offer communion. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. Before you eat it, remember his sacrifice and give thanks for what he has done for you. I heard a song this morning that said, when I, when I, When I look at my life and I look back, I see nothing but where Jesus has been. And I trust that that's where he's going to be in my future, and he is. He is my salvation, his sacrifice. So thanking for it before you eat it. Give thanks for his sacrifice. The invitation's this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, stand. Counselors, find your spot. Logan's going to lead us. You respond. You come.